So what is the future of hybrid e-commerce model in rural markets? So from the growth trends, we see that smartphones and internet penetration will boost the hybrid adoption. Also, a lot of policies of government and private sector investments are taking place in rural e-commerce infrastructure. There's going to be a lot of technology integration through AI, through which you could have a recommendation engine, you could have an automated inventory management and digital payment solutions, thereby improving the growth of the hybrid e-commerce in the market. In terms of sustainability and scalability, if you expand hybrid models to underserved rural areas, and you can leverage partnership with cooperatives, logistic providers, and financial institutions, and make it more scalable. So what is the impact of hybrid e-commerce? It changes the rural commerce by giving economic opportunities to rural producers. It strengthens the urban-rural trade linkages. This is one step for digital inclusion, so because it balances the traditional commerce with modern e-commerce solution. It also enables a wider range of consumers and business to participate in digital economy, because you can look and feel, touch and feel in the online world, offline world, and find the compare features and all with others in the online world. So you can participate in digital economy at the same time, think it like a traditional way. So what is the future potential? So hybrid models can serve as a bridge for full digital transformation in rural markets. So right now it's a stepping stone in the full digital transformation. What are the niche e-commerce platforms for rural markets? So niche e-commerce platforms, they are platforms which are focused on specialized product, one type of product, or some platform which is catering to specific consumer segments. And why they matter for rural markets? Because rural markets may be very specific and not necessarily general. So for example, traditional crafts is very specific, organic produce is very specific, and some specialty of the region is very specific. So they can be pushed through these kind of niche platform. Niche platform also connects rural producers, especially with consumers who value authenticity and exclusivity, because they will know definitely they are buying from that region, and the way it is produced, they are very aware and they are very exclusive to that particular region. This niche e-commerce platform also helps to sustain the cultural heritage by ensuring that there is enough opportunity for the artisans or the farmers to keep doing what they were doing before and not change with modern times or change their processes. And also they help in supporting small scale producers, because small scale producers need not look at all the marketing and do the entire marketing. They go to their niche platforms and sell through that platform. So the key advantages, it provides rural business with visibility beyond local market. So it's only depending on local market is not the solution. It helps you to reach wider outside the local market as well. So how do you do that? You focus on localized and specialized products. So you target local and regional markets. So platforms, they cater to specific region or cultural community. For example, a niche platform for traditional food items like pickles, spices, and local snacks is only for that type of customers or producers. You can customize and personalize. So producers can highlight handmade, organic, eco-friendly aspects of the product. And you will normally attract consumers who prefer ethically sourced goods. You preserve the local identity by promoting traditional weaving, traditional pottery, or crafts unique to that regions. You also encourage sustainable economic growth within that rural communities. examples of niche e-commerce platforms. So you have traditional crafts where artisans sell hand-woven textiles, potteries, and jewelry. So, you know, let's take a Kanchipuram sari, which is sold only through that sari platform, or something which is made in Kerala, some spices are sold only through a platform which is looking for Kerala spices. The other examples of niche e-commerce, which you can easily understand because it's more popular, is Etsy or Gatha. So what Gatha does it? It shows handmade crafts to global buyers. It picks up the handmade crafts, take their pictures, show it to global buyers and make them buy through it. Organic produce. So farmers who do not use fertilizers or who grow the things organically or traditional way, they directly are able to sell to consumers who value such product and are called health conscious consumers. And without necessarily trying to explain why their cost is high and what are the benefits and so on and so forth, because those niche e-commerce platforms have already made it possible. So examples, as I said, Farmers Fresh Zone, Farm Drop in UK, where it markets only organic fruits, grains and dairy. So specialized items are also there, like unique products like herbal teas, handmade soaps, condiments which are handmade. They can sell through this very niche platforms. So they explain, the platforms highlight the honeys, the spice, the handcrafted skin care, and people who like that come on those platforms and buy from it. Cultural experience as products. Now this is a very unique offering where you promote the experiences of anyone as products. So for example, you invite people for rural tourism in a particular area. So what you're selling is rural tourism. Or you say you're going to have a workshop in a particular area, workshop for making pottery or traditional skills offered via niche platforms. So this kind of experiences, you sell it as a product. So why do you need to build niche market for unique rural products, or what is the advantages? So one, of course, it helps you to do market differentiation. So you kind of say, yes, there are many people who sell the product, but our product is different because of A, B, C reason. You can also do storytelling for brand loyalty. Like, this product is handmade from the glass that was created out of the lightning which struck the sand, as an example. Or this hand-woven saris were marked with stories about the artisans, that this person has been doing this business for 25 years. It's carefully hand-weaven, hand-woven, and things like that. So what happens is there's a lot of emotional connect, and you want to encourage it rather than a machine-made product. And of course, in terms of organic foods and all, there are some health benefits also. And it gives you exclusivity. So this is not available to everyone. So hence, it's this niche marketing and niche platforms play a bigger role in the rural growth story. You can also collaborate with influencers. So you have influencers in social influencer where you can showcase your products or recipes, home decor, ethical fashion. So sometimes chefs promote organic spices or handmade cookware. So customers who like such thing can directly go there and buy from it. Today, people want different experience, different needs. So some kind of niche marketing also helps you to expand in the global reach. So maybe in some countries, the hand portion, handmade stuff is much more valued than otherwise. So any products, local products, which are done in a very traditional way, can go through these niche products and reach international buyers. So, for example, Indian handmade products like saris and food items are very well recognized internationally. So people order from there and they feel very proud on receiving it. It also helps that the consumers feel that they're supporting the local artisans and farmers, and thereby they have more reasons to buy again and again from them for their products. So since it's so good, what are their challenges faced by Nest e-commerce platform? So rural producers sometimes don't understand or they lack the knowledge of these platforms or find it difficult to do online selling. So therefore, government or NGOs or these platforms have to do awareness campaign. They have to learn to onboard programs and give digital literacy trainings. Another thing is, in some of the items which are perishable, especially in nature, the delivery timing is crucial. And if you don't have the right infrastructure, logistics, then it becomes difficult to deliver on time with the same quality that has been promised. So we need to improve the logistics and infrastructure gaps. Most of the time, the challenge is that once the demand grows, the manufacturer finds it difficult to maintain quality and exclusivity because they are only able to produce to a level, to a point where they have to otherwise start using other ways of managing it. So that's one of the reasons why they lose authenticity. So the solution is you must have strict quality control and the producer must vet to preserve the authenticity. Sustainability concerns. So consumers prefer eco-friendly packaging and sustainable sourcing. So the solution is the platform should promote green packaging and ethical production. So what are the strategies for success in niche e-commerce? So to make it successful, you must invest in digital storytelling. Through that, you help to connect the rural products with the global or urban consumers. You must enhance the logistics and fulfillment because strong supply chain is required to ensure reliable deliveries. You have to create community-based hubs like local cooperatives that can facilitate bulk sales. You leverage the social media and influencer market to build brand recognition and trust. And most importantly, you provide e-commerce training to rural sellers so that they are able to take advantage of the platform and adopt it in a much better way. How do we see the future of this niche e-commerce in rural markets? In the future is very bright because there is constantly growing global demands. There are technologies like artificial intelligence, augmented reality, and blockchain that is making the consumers touch and feel the products in the digital platform. Also, government and NGOs are supporting for this kind of products and services, and it is making more sustainable business model potentials, and therefore it will keep growing. Mobile commerce or m-commerce in rural areas. So mobile commerce has transformed rural engagement with e-commerce. It leverages the mobile phone accessibility and affordable internet packs to connect rural business and consumers. What are the key benefits of mobile phone or m-phone? It increases market access for rural producers. It reduces the dependence on the physical infrastructure that is required. And mobile commerce helps and encourages financial inclusion through mobile payments. Does mobile apps have a role in driving e-commerce adoption or does it not? I think it has a big role in driving e-commerce adoption. How does it have? One, through mobile app, there is ease of access because the app has a simple interface, local language support, and that enhances the usability. More importantly, the apps bring localized solutions like cash on delivery. The apps are made in such a way there It allows low data consumption and in many cases even offline browsing. So areas where the internet is not very strong, through offline browsing, you can select your products, and then when you come in the network zone, your order gets placed. It also empowers entrepreneurs because it allows them to set up online storefronts and manage sales using only mobile apps. And it connects urban and rural markets. It bridges that for broader sales. Examples of m-commerce solution for rural consumers are, in India, it's Meesho, which is a social commerce app, helps the rural seller market via social medias like WhatsApp and Facebook. Similarly, M-Pesa in Kenya is a mobile-based financial transaction supporting cashless payment in rural areas. So in Kenya, you do have to do cashless payment, you use M-Pesa. Farmers Fresh Zone in India, it connects the farmers directly with urban consumers for fresh organic products. Shohoz in Bangladesh, it's an e-com or mobile app which does e-com and transport service for rural accessibility. Paytm in India does the digital payment for small business and shopkeepers, thereby reducing the cash dependency and, more importantly, small changes that has to be given back. So those dependencies goes out of the picture. Of course, there are advantages of m-commerce for rural entrepreneurs. Some among them are, it's a low entry barrier as mobile phones are affordable. You can start your online business. Wider market reach. Once you start your online business through e-com platforms, you are able to connect with national and global consumers, thereby improving your sales by having wider market reach. In the m-commerce, you get both convenience and flexibility because you can manage your sales, your books, your inventory, and your banking accounts through the mobile, and thereby you can take sales and orders anytime, anywhere. It's cost effective from a rural entrepreneur's side or rural supplier side, as it eliminates the need for physical shops, and more importantly, it reduces the day-to-day running business expenses. It also helps in financial inclusion because today with mobile wallets, you can do transaction without a need of a bank account. So it kind of just before bank account stage, you can also use that to increase your business. So how would an m-commerce build consumer trust in rural markets? So one, with mobile apps, you can have a cash on delivery option that reduces the hesitation on using online payments. You can get customer reviews and ratings, thereby buyers make informed purchasing decision. You can have an easy return and refund policy, which gives more confidence that in case I made a mistake, I can return it best. You can also bring localized customer support in terms of language, in terms of dialects, thereby improving the engagement and build the trust and then the brand around it. Are there any challenges for m-commerce in rural areas? Like other models, one of the biggest challenges for mobile commerce is connectivity issues. The second is literacy gap, digital literacy gaps, where you have to train the people on how to use the mobile app. In case they're not trained, they can make mistakes. There's always a worry for payment security because of the fraud, and they kind of avoid the online transaction. Lastly is the logistics and last mile delivery, which is it makes it difficult to reach remote areas, thereby impacting efficiency. Another thing that is there is the mobile phone gets robbed, they have to change. In that time, they are not able to use the mobile commerce effectively. So how do you enhance the mobile commerce in rural areas? What kind of strategies you will execute or think about it? So the biggest strategy is you have to expand the mobile network infrastructure. You have to improve the connectivity for remote users. And the other thing is you have to keep having training programs for digital literacy. What I mean by that is you'll have to keep educating your consumers and the entrepreneurs on how to use the mobile commerce apps and the features that are part of it. Once you do it, the adoption becomes easier. Once they start understanding on how to use it and how to effectively use it, they are more likely to keep using it because it helps in their business. Another aspect is, of course, government and private sector collaboration must be there. So you encourage, support the policies for rural digital payments and logistics. And in some cases, some remote location, you could have a very innovative delivery models like local networks or self-service kiosk to complete your order fulfillment. Now that we have seen pros and cons, we have seen what kind of support is required. How do we see the future of m-commerce or mobile commerce in rural area? I think, as it is rightly put there, the mobile commerce is a game changer for rural economic growth and financial inclusion. It has changed the way how rural economy has leapfrogged in many cases, have grown exponentially to make it really better for the local environment. And the one of the leading reasons for that is the mobile commerce. So you have apps like Meesho and M-Pesa. They kind of showcase the power of mobile-first commerce. You'll have to continuously, there's an investment by government in technology, in localized solution and infrastructure. This will help to users to adopt this much more effectively and entrepreneurs to be on the platform much easier. The rural businesses can leverage the mobile commerce for greater market reach, economic empowerment, and digital transformation. Crowdsourced and sharing economy model. There's another model which is crowdsourced and sharing economy. Now, these models work on the principle of collaboration, resource sharing, and digital access to funding. So, it has its benefits, like it reduces the cost for rural entrepreneurs and he's able to take some help from the whole network. He can also get access to funding, therefore very good, and access to markets definitely. It can promote sustainable business practice, this model. But in all of this, the digital platforms play the key role in enabling all these models. So, what are the opportunities in sharing economy for rural business? One, you get access to tool and equipments. So you can have shared access to tractors, harvesters, and irrigation system, which reduces the investment cost for farmers. You'd have shared logistics and transport, so you can pool your transportation resources, which reduces the delivery cost and improves the last mile connectivity. Skill and knowledge sharing, so rural entrepreneurs can exchange expertise in case they have in areas of marketing, finance, and production, and thereby help others to grow along with them. Shared workspaces. So co-working workspaces in the urban areas is well known, but you could have a co-working spaces offering office infrastructure, internet and training center in rural business as well. Boosting local tourism. You could have a homestay platforms that help rural residents host travelers, generating additional income for those kind of households. And how does sharing economy empowers rural business? So they believe in collaboration over competition. So here the business and individuals collaborate, share resources instead of competing for them. This helps in cost reduction because you don't need heavy investment in all the equipment, logistics or works places, you can work with smaller investment. So rural producers gain access to broader markets via digital sharing platforms. You also generate employment because in areas of rural tourism, logistics and digital services through collaborative approach. Crowdsource platform for rural fundraising and collaboration. So crowdfunding, so you have platforms like Kickstarter and Keto. What they do, they help the rural businesses raise capital for new ventures without needing bank loans. So do have peer-to-peer lending and someone else lends, and they can do that. Community-led development, so villagers kind of pool resources for to fund projects like infrastructure, renewable energy or cooperatives in case it is benefit to the entire village. Creative funding, so Patreon, GoFundMe is creative funding where rural artists, musicians and craft workers raise funds directly from their audience. Talent crowdsourcing, so business can hire remote professionals for marketing, design and digital services. And you could have localized platforms. So the regional crowdsourcing platforms connect local investors with rural entrepreneurs. How can you leverage shared resources to reduce cost? So for example, the areas in which you can do shared resources is you can do bulk purchase of raw material, you can share the marketing, you can do collective distribution, you can pool or share your resources on digital tools and platform, you can have renewable energy resources, and the benefits of course of all these steps are tremendous. You can reduce your cost, you can do collaborate each other for branding, you can have a common software which you can share across for inventory, payments and e-commerce. And in renewable energy resources, you could have community-owned solar grids which lowers your overall electricity cost and also increases the availability. So what are the comparative table for e-commerce models? So let's look at models that we have discussed. So you have B2C, B2B to start with, B2C, C2C, cooperative models, hybrid models and niche platforms. So the key features around this in B2B is that you will have bulk sales and it is between business to business. B2C, you have direct sales to end consumer. C2C is peer-to-peer transactions. Cooperative model means you aggregate the product and sell it as one big lot. Hybrid models combines the online and offline. And niche platforms offer specialized services in or products in localized or unique products. The benefit of B2B is you understand stable income, long-term partnership. And the challenge, of course, is it requires supply consistently and quality standards have to be maintained. B2C, you have higher profit margins and customer loyalty. And the challenges there is it demands marketing and logical efficiency. In C2C, the benefit is, of course, the whole community is engaging and accessing, and it's a small scale participation. But the challenges is about the trust between users, and it has scalability challenges. In cooperative model, you share the resources and take advantage of local economic development as benefits. However, the challenge for cooperative model is governance required, strong governance is required, and equitable profit sharing is needed. In hybrid models, the benefit is among us of flexible operation and you can have diverse customer reach. The challenges is, of course, inventory integration, customer experience, and consistency and customer service. In niche platform, the benefit is you can do premium pricing and you can do very targeted branding. The challenges is you can scale limited because the reliance is on the niche market and not the general market overall. So how do you choose the right model for the rural businesses that you do? So first thing is you have to align yourself with your business goals. So you define your objectives. Do you want to expand? Do you want to build a brand? Do you want to do cost saving? You work on that. Secondly, you see what are the available resources you have. So do you have digital literacy? Do you have the right infrastructure? Do you have the financial capacity for it? Then you understand the customer needs by identifying target market behavior and demand. You start small and then scale up. So you pilot on the chosen model and then optimize operation. You can leverage partnerships by collaborating with NGOs, cooperative and digital platforms for support. So what are the success factors for each e-commerce models in rural areas? So in B2B, you must have a strong supply chain, you must have good quality, and you must have competitive pricing. In B2C, if you want to be successful, you must have a good branding, you must have a good customer engagement, and reliable logistics. In C2C, you must have mechanism which builds trust and have simple and user-friendly platforms. In the cooperative model, if you want to be successful, you must have transparent governance, fair profit sharing, collective marketing. In hybrid model, to be successful, you must have seamless integration of online and offline business models, sales, and more importantly, you have to track inventory, because it would be very terrible in case you take an order and you find out you don't have inventory to deliver it because someone in the physical store has sold all the items. So inventory management becomes very important. And in niche platform, if you really want to be successful, you must have high quality products, you must have differentiation, that's why the niche, and you must have targeted marketing, and above all, a very compelling storytelling on why someone should buy your product. So what is the real world application of sharing economy in rural markets? So people share agricultural equipment. So there are platforms like Tirango in India, which allows that. You could also share storage and cold chains. You could have a community-based tourism, so Airbnb-style platforms, which connects travelers with rural homestays. You could do microfinance and peer lending. So you have rural entrepreneurs who access loans through digital lending platforms. What are the challenges in implementing crowdsourced and sharing economy models? So digital literacy is a big barrier still, where many rural users struggle with technology adoption, infrastructure limitation. So poor internet connectivity and transportation issues are there. And like in most things, trust and security concerns are of a big challenges in implementing crowdsourced and sharing economy models. You also in some places have regulatory barriers, like you have to do compliance with the tax laws, contracts and platform regulations. And lastly but not least, you have scaling challenges, because with shared assets you find it difficult to manage, especially when the demand keeps growing. So is there a future for crowdsourced and sharing economy model in rural areas? It looks like it has future, because rural entrepreneurship is very important for the economy. And as the digital platforms are expanding, rural entrepreneurship will grow. And therefore, to get them off the ground, a crowdsourced and a sharing economy model could be the way. There's an increased investment by government and private companies to have promote these shared economy models. You can have, through cooperative model, a sustainability and eco-focused growth, like green energy sharing, organic farming cooperatives, etc. You can do AI and blockchain integration by smart contracts, automated payments and secure data sharing. You can do greater inclusion of rural women and youth by giving them access to digital business opportunity. Can you transform rural businesses through sharing economy and crowdsource? Yes, you can transform because sharing and crowdsource models lower cost, they increase efficiency, and they promote inclusivity. Rural entrepreneurs can leverage digital platforms for funding, logistics, and skill sharing. So challenges exist, but strategic investment in infrastructure, trust building, and education will drive to success. The future trends will make these models more accessible, paving the way for sustainable rural economic growth. So hence, a cooperative way and a collaborative way looks like will increase in future. So with that, we come to the end of this chapter. Thank you for a very patient listening.